bicycling in Maine, riding, repairing, and staying safe. Whether you commute to work on a bike, ride for exercise, or just for fun, the cycling season is well underway. Bike riding is growing in popularity around the country as well as here in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we explore biking in Maine. How do you decide what kind of bike is right for you? What do you need to know about safety? Which rules of the road are law and which are courtesies? We'll also discuss the best places to ride, from scenic road routes to mountain trails. And we'll learn about some new programs, one that connects low-income Mainers to bicycles for transportation, and another in Norway that has established a small-town bike share program. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. With summer finally here, cyclists across the state are out in force, enjoying the roads, paths, and mountain trails that make Maine a biker's paradise. But with more bicyclists on the road, there will be more accidents. Vehicles strike nearly 500 cyclists on Maine roadways each year. Today, we're going to talk about bike safety, bike repairs, bike sharing, off-the-beaten-path trails. We'd love you to join us. With me in the studio today, Jim Tassie, Assistant Executive Director of the Bicycle Coalition of Maine, and Jamie Wright, the owner of Gorham Bike and Ski, a cycling and ski store with locations throughout Maine and New Hampshire. As always, we want to hear from you. What's your favorite place to ride? Do you use a bike to commute to work? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Jim, why don't I start by asking you, if folks are listening today and, gee, I've had that bike in my garage for 5 years since I've pulled it out, and this reminds me that I really love it and I want to get out there. How do I start to even find good places to ride? Where are there? Are there online guides? Can I call a bike shop? You know, how do I even figure out what would be a great place to go near my home?
Well, you could talk to your friends who ride bikes, who will give you all kinds of suggestions. Your local bike shop will have plenty of ideas of places to go. So Jamie can talk about some of the places that they send folks to. And actually, Google Maps, believe it or not, has a pretty good tool that you can use now where you can actually click on bicycle routes, and it'll show you where bike facilities are within a city. So Portland lights up with all kinds of little green stripes that show you where there are separated facilities, where there are bike lanes. Pretty much everything there is on-road or a separated facility. You won't get mountain bike trails using Google.
But so you go to Google Maps and you just click on the little bicycle icon, yeah, and it'll sort of let you know what roads are more bicycle-friendly than others.
That's correct, yeah. And usually they're indicating the presence of a bike lane or some other kind of facility. A shared lane marking might be there. If they have just a dotted line, it indicates that it's a route that gets used that's might be suggested but might not be as robustly, optimized for bikes.
Sure, because all over Maine there are places that don't have a designated bike lane but that have maybe, you know, a really nice wide shoulder and are appropriate for cycling even if the speed limit's very fast.
Yeah, and a wider shoulder is definitely a more comfortable place to ride a bike. But there are plenty of quiet roads in Maine too, and, if you've had any experience driving around and been on a nice quiet country road that seemed like a quiet country road, that's probably a pretty good place to ride a bike too.
Okay. Turning to you, Jamie, you rode here on an e-bike, I understand. First of all, what is an e-bike?
Well, an e-bike is electric assist. So
oh,
it will add power to your power that you're putting into the bike. So it's like riding with a tailwind, and it's great for commuting. It's great for if you want to ride to work but don't want to get all sweaty but still want to be out there getting some exercise, that's the real advantage of e-bikes. And they're starting to sell a lot more here in the
state. I was going to say, I've heard of, throughout my lifetime, I know people who are tinkerers who add some sort of contraption onto their bicycle, but these come this way.
That's correct. I think over the last 10 years, there's been big upgrades. A lot of the major companies are making e-bikes now. A lot of the motors are by big companies like Bosch, Yamaha, Shimano. And they're reliable, and you can now go up to 100 miles on one of these e-bikes. So they've come a long way in the last 10 years.
So tell us about some of the other newer bikes. I mean, we've seen the fat tire bikes. Is that the correct name for them?
Yes, it is. You know, a lot of people use them as winter bikes. They ride on the snowmobile trails or the footpaths that get stamped down by people walking or snowshoeing. It's a lot of fun. Here in Maine, as you know, sometimes winter doesn't show up. So having a fat bike, it'll ride on the dirt, mud, ice, snow. So if you can't go cross-country skiing, fat bike is a great alternative.
I call it the honey badger of bicycles.
The honey badger of bicycles.
You just don't care.
I've seen more and more of them. What else is popular at the store, Jamie?
Well, I would say that you know, mountain bikes has really come back strong. A lot of people building trails. I know Jim was just talking about trails up at Mount Abrams. You know, so there's a lot more trail building going on in the state, which gives a lot more places for people to ride. People are choosing mountain biking a little bit. I don't know if we want to get into this conversation, but with people texting on the road, people sometimes feel as if maybe being in the woods is safer than being on the road.
So roots and rocks and other hazards aren't as bad as other drivers, huh?
No.
There's fewer brains involved, is what I like to say.
So let's talk about safety. And Jim, why don't we start by how this season has been so far? There have already been some bicycle accidents in the news, really scary ones.
Yes, there have been a number of bike crashes already in Maine. I can actually pull you up the exact number because I was just looking at it earlier, if I can get to it. I want to say that there have been So 52 bike crashes so far in 2017, no fatalities. We're about halfway through the year, and we're probably coming into the season where we're going to see an uptick in that number. Typically, your number seemed a little bit high for the number of crashes. Typically, DOT reports around 200 to 210 crashes on average that are reportable. More incidents are happening. It's important to know that a reportable crash for DOT purposes has to it has to involve a moving motor vehicle. It has to cause $1,000 worth of damage or personal injury. So
there's 200 that reach that standard.
That's correct.
Right. So probably a lot more where somebody's just really scared because a side mirror has brushed them and knocked them off their bike or something like that.
Or something like that, yep.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me because I know in most of the incidents, it is the vehicle driver at fault. But in Lewiston this week, we had one where the cyclist may be charged driving down a sidewalk and veering off of a sidewalk into oncoming traffic. You know, how many people are out there on bikes, frankly, and I know you are probably not crazy about this, who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing?
There are a number of people who aren't doing what they should be doing. And, you know, our referent whenever this question comes up is, you know, you should always, always, always operate with traffic. You should always obey stoplights and stop signs. You should signal your intentions and in general be predictable. The case in Lewiston, you know, is an illustration about the dangers of sidewalk riding. People often think that, you know, riding on the sidewalk is the safest place to be. But the problem with that is that vehicle traffic isn't necessarily looking for other traffic on the sidewalk. And so you kind of put yourself in a place where other drivers aren't really expecting you to be. And so, you know, pretty much if you're, you know, 13 and up, it's good for you to get in the habit of riding in the road with traffic. And there are a number of education programs that we offer that can help you develop confidence and skills to ride safely in traffic.
Okay. And let's talk about, Jamie, I'll ask you about this, about night riding. When I'm behind the wheel of my car, I am terrified when I see at night someone riding a bicycle without lights and wearing dark clothing. You come up on these people so quickly. What are the laws about riding your bicycle at night?
Well, you have to have a rear flashing light. And Jim, you can correct me if that's in the state of Maine anyway.
A
reflector only?
Reflector only. You need to have a headlight visible from 200 feet, a reflector, and you need to have some sort of reflective stuff around your feet because that up and down motion says bicycle. But I'm with Jamie. It's like my bike has numerous taillights, and I think that taillights are absolutely critical for night riding too.
I think that most of the people that you see riding at night without reflectors, without lights, dark clothing, are maybe the same people that you see pedestrians jaywalking, you know, the kind of the bad apples, not paying attention to what they're doing. I would say that a majority of serious cyclists are all wearing reflective
sure.
clothing, lights. They're very concerned about their safety, so they're going to take all the precautions they can.
Yeah, in many cases, I think it's kids. On the line with us now, State Representative Maddie Daughtry. She represents District 49, and she is a Democrat from Brunswick. Representative Daughtry, thanks for joining us. I understand you are sponsoring a new Traffic Safety Education Act. Tell me what this law is about.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. So the Traffic Safety Education Act that we've introduced this session seeks to ensure that all Maine students, regardless of their zip code, have access to age-appropriate traffic safety education. And it really gets at the heart of a lot of what you've just been discussing. It seeks to make sure that when children are in, you know, elementary years, that they know they need to look both ways before crossing the street, to be able to navigate the sidewalk safely, and when they first start riding their bikes, you know, out of their mom and dad's driveways, that they know which side of the road they're supposed to be on. And then as children get older, it sort of transitions and talks, especially for high school students, about how you need to interact with all possible users of Maine's roadways, that if you're in a car, you need to make sure that you're giving pedestrians and cyclists, you know, 3 feet when passing, and that you know that you need to have that reflector and that front headlight. So that's the main goal of the bill, and it's been moving forward.
What is the status of the bill?
Well, it passed both the House and the Senate, and it's currently sitting on the special appropriations table to get funding. So we're hoping it'll move forward and get signed into law.
And what kind of funding would it entail?
Currently, we're looking at about a $30,000 fiscal note, but there's a lot of outside resources, so we're working at reducing that and making sure that this is accessible for both the Department of Education and for all Maine schools.
Maddie Daughtry, before we say goodbye, I'm going to go to Kat, who's calling from Old Town, because I believe Kat has a question about your bill. Hi, Kat. Go
sure
ahead.
My name is Kat, and although I'm currently in college out of state, I actually grew up in Maine and graduated high school in Maine. And so I wish I had the chance to learn more about bicycling and pedestrian safety when I was a student. So I just want to thank you to the Bike Coalition of Maine for all the work that you guys have been doing. And so I was recently fortunate enough to study abroad in Copenhagen, learning about the community health. But one of the things I learned is that in addition to the amazing bike trails that they have, they also have a very comprehensive education program about biking safety. It's definitely something I think that we need in Maine as a biker myself. And so I was wondering if you guys could just tell me a little more about what in particular you'll be teaching kids and what types of activities you'll be doing just to keep them safe, whether it's walking or biking to school.
All right. Go ahead, Maddie.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you bring up the program in Copenhagen. That was one of the ones that we were looking at and really realizing that a lot of other societies really take care of teaching these skills at an early age. We're really looking at making sure that students receive the real-world knowledge that they need to safely use all Maine roadways. So, you know, as I said, it's whether you're jogging, you're walking your dog, you're, you know, crossing a road on your snowmobile, you're driving, you're cycling, making sure that you know how to interact with the space, because we have a lot of different users of Maine roadways. So our real goal is to make sure that all students graduate with that knowledge. But we also want to sort of preserve local control by letting schools figure out the best way to present it. And I should add that this bill is very personal for me. I was actually hit about a year ago. And while I was recovering, that was one of the conversations that I had with a lot of people, is they didn't really know what the law was or how they were supposed to interact. So it's something that we have a desperate need for Maine to move this education into our school systems. We really do have a real public safety crisis if you look at the rising trends of accidents.
All right. Well, Kat, thank you so much for your call. Great question. And it's also related to an email that has come in from David. What are the laws around bikers riding on sidewalks and also bikers riding 2 or more abreast? This is what we were talking about just a minute ago, Jim. Are there laws about not riding on a sidewalk, or is that just best practice not to ride on a sidewalk?
It is not a state law that you should not ride on a sidewalk. It is a best practice recommendation. There are some municipalities that do put it into ordinance and say, it is illegal. So South Portland, for example, if you're over the age of 15, it's illegal to ride on a sidewalk. But it really kind of varies town by town, and you can easily look up your local ordinance and see whether there is a prohibition against riding on the sidewalk. Pretty much all municipalities give a pass to kids who are, you know, children under the age of, you know, 11 or so, that there is an expectation that they will be riding some on the sidewalks.
And what about riding 2, 3, 4 abreast? What are the rules for those packs of riders we see?
So under Maine state law, Title 29A, Chapter 19, Section 2063, not that I've memorized it or anything, there is no explicit prohibition against riding 2 abreast. What the law says is that a bicycle must ride as far to the right as is practicable, which means possible and safe to do so. They must ride as far to the right as is practicable unless it is unsafe to do so as determined by the bicyclist or unless a variety of circumstances are present. And so circumstances in which a bicyclist can use more of the travel lane include setting up for a left turn, passing another vehicle, going straight at a place where a right turn is permitted, or to avoid an unsafe situation at the road, the roadside's edge, which would include, you know, busted up pavement, potholes, debris, glass, animals, you know, you name it. Or if you're in a situation where you have a lane of substandard width, and substandard width is defined in Maine state law as being a lane that is too narrow for a motor vehicle and a bicyclist to share within the same lane. Now, the arithmetic for this is pretty straightforward. Under federal design guidelines, bicyclists usually are given 4 feet of operating space. That's the minimum operating space. The law requires 3 feet when passing, and most vehicles are about 7 feet wide. So to have a bicycle and a car in the same lane side by side safely, that lane really needs to be about 14 feet wide, which is pretty darn wide.
There aren't many of those.
There aren't many, but there are some. The Maine Supreme Court in 2014 rendered a decision that said if any of those exceptions are present and that make it not necessary for a bicyclist to be way over to the right, the law does not apply. So the way in which that is, you know, interpreted is that, you know, if you're in a situation where there is junk at the edge of the road or you're in a really narrow lane, the requirement to stay as far to the right as practicable doesn't apply. So whether you're one bike or multiple bikes, you can be anywhere in the travel lane. The other nuance of state law says that you have to stay as far to the right as practicable if you're moving slower than traffic at that place and time. And so the question then becomes, what sets the speed of traffic at a given place and time? And the argument would be that, well, the greatest number of users at that place and time are setting the speed of traffic at that moment. So if you have a peloton of 25 riders who are taking up a travel lane and a car comes up behind them with a single person in it, the speed of the roadway at that moment is being set by those 25 users, not the single user in the car. And so it is incumbent upon the driver of the car to take a breath, slow down, and wait for a safe place to pass, just like they'd pass a farm tractor.
Right. So we do need to go to a break, but I'm going to ask you this very quickly. You come up behind, you're in a car, and you come up behind 2 or 3 riders riding abreast. Is it appropriate to honk?
You know, if it's really not. The bicycles will know that you're there. They're looking behind them. They've got mirrors. They'll be paying attention to it. I mean, if you feel like you must honk, you should give a little beep, 500 feet back so they know that you're coming. And, you know, good courtesy does dictate that, you know, singling up in a situation where it's safe to do so is fine. And incidentally, it is legal in Maine to pass a bicycle in a no-passing zone if it is safe to do so. So if there's no oncoming traffic, there's nothing that says a car cannot cross a double yellow, give them the complete lane and go around them.
Okay, all important information. We do have to go to a break. We are talking about biking in Maine. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Subaru in Auburn. Committed to going the extra mile for its customers with the new Express Service Lane. Learn more at evergreensubaru.com.
Republicans have been pushing to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act for a long time.
There have been gazillions of hearings on this subject. When they were in the majority, when we were in the majority.
Republican senators finally unveiled their health care bill, a look at what's in it and what it means for health care. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. This September, Maine Public will be airing The Vietnam War, the new Ken Burns 18-hour documentary. We are planning a series of pre-screenings across Maine, and in preparation for these events, we're looking for Vietnam veterans who are willing to share their own story on the Vietnam War and any correspondence they had during the war. We'll archive these submissions on our website, and a few will be recorded for broadcast by students. If you're interested or know someone, please send your testimonials and stories to mystory@mainepublic.org. And thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. Today on the program, Bicycling in Maine. With me in our studio, Jim Tassi, Assistant Executive Director of the Bicycle Coalition of Maine, and Jamie Wright, the owner of Gorham Bike and Ski. What questions do you have about biking in Maine? Are you considering a new bike? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Jamie, quickly, I want to ask you how long that you, Gorham Bike and Ski's been around, and what kind of changes you've seen in the number of people biking in southern Maine and the kinds of biking that people are doing.
I opened the store in 1995, so 22 years been in business. I've seen a lot of change. You know, actually, I see a lot of change too. The attitude towards cyclists on the road has really improved over the years. Back in the late 90s, you know, especially in western Maine, rural areas, that, you know, we had a lot of incidents with people driving by yelling at us or coming close to us and stuff. But today it's really changed. I think that people are getting used to cyclists being on the road. You know, as far as the industry goes, you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs. But in like the Lance years, I mean, we sold a lot of road bikes and everybody wanted to be a road cyclist. Now it seems like everybody wants to be out on the trail and out in nature. So a lot of nice changes over the years.
All right. On the line with us now, Dr. Bryce Wolf. He's with Maine Ortho and is a board-certified specialist in sports medicine. Dr. Wolf, thanks for joining us. And tell us, what are some of the common injuries that affect bicyclists?
Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I think we can think of it two broad categories in terms of cycling injuries, you know, those traumatic injuries and what we call overuse injuries. Of course, the most serious high-energy traumatic injuries involve collisions with motor vehicles, which remains the most common cause of the approximately 800 cyclist deaths per year in the United States. You know, falls off the bike itself can also cause a lot of problems, of course. And you can imagine it involves mostly the head and neck and the upper extremities. We see a lot of fractures of the clavicle and of the wrist, as well as ligament and tendon injuries around the wrist, elbow, and shoulder. In terms of overuse injuries, which is most commonly caused by tendonitis, which is really pain and inflammation of tendons around primarily our joints, this occurs slowly over time. It's not an acute injury like getting hit by a car, for example. So this can occur really anywhere in the body, but cyclists really see more frequency of injuries in the neck and lower back, the knee in the form of patellar tendonitis, which is pain and inflammation in the front of the knee. You can get IT band syndrome, which is pain along the outside of the knee. And we see a lot of foot and ankle injuries as well, like Achilles tendonitis and plantar fasciitis. The list kind of goes on and on.
Okay, so before we scare people off from cycling, there are obviously great benefits as well. It's great for you, your heart. And I want to say, turn the question around and say, what do you recommend people do to stay healthy if they're going to ride their bike? Ought they be warming up beforehand, getting a good bike fit, stretching afterwards?
Sure. I think prevention is key, obviously, keeping you out of the clinic and hospital. So there's a couple of things to think about, you know, in terms of these traumatic injuries. You know, obviously knowing and abiding by the rules of the road, as you guys have been talking about, is very good. Wearing a helmet, of course, is beneficial to head trauma. And the protection of cyclists by legislation, we've gone into a lot of that today already. And that's been great in Maine. I think there's been good, steady progress over the last decade or so. And overuse injuries, you know, you just got to you know, utilize proper stepwise training workloads, you know, do appropriate stretching and strengthening regimens, and a proper technique and what's called bike fitting are really important parts of this process.
Okay, so have a bike that fits well and don't overdo it. Know your body.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Dr. Wolf, thanks so much for joining us. That's Bryce Wolf with Maine Ortho. We're going to go to, we'll go to Mike here who's calling from Sanford. Hi, Mike. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yeah, hi. I just have basically a comment, I guess, about Jamie's notion, and not notion, but, you know, I agree with him that the riding has gotten safer over the last 25 years, 30 years. When I first started riding in Maine back in the early 80s, there was a disproportionate number of yahoos doing stupid stuff on the highway. And it has gotten better. But on the other side of it is that, you know, over the last 5 years, there's been this every summer, this major safety campaign for motorcycles, et cetera, but hardly anything from the state in the way of advertising for safety with bicycles. I noticed this year they have started something, but I think a more increased budget for the safety campaign for bicycles in the state, you know, from the state would be real helpful to training motorists, not just cyclists.
All right, Mike, I have a feeling our audience, our guests agree with you.
Absolutely. The Bicycle Coalition of Maine completely endorses that sentiment. We do think that there needs to be more money spent on public service announcements that talk about how to share the road safely. I can say that, you know, we are working very closely with the Maine Department of Transportation on these issues, and they are receptive, and I think we're making good progress in getting more attention paid to the needs of not just bicyclists, but pedestrians and indeed all vulnerable users on the road. And I think that you are going to continue to see progress in the right direction.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call. A quick email here. This is from Sarah. Please inform all cyclists if they go to their town to request, Maine DOT will install at no charge the new 3 feet minimum to pass bicyclists and pedestrian signs. David Allen of the DOT will, understandably, not take the request directly from the public, but rather through your local municipality.
That's more or less true. A DOT will do that on roads that they control, so state routes in particular. Sometimes they will require some sort of a match on the part of a town if you're putting on local roads. And if you live in a municipality that's got some of the old signs that have like an arrow that shows like a car, an arrow, and a bike and says 3 feet, those are actually illegal and non-compliant signs with federal road signage guidelines. And so DOT is more than happy to take those down and give you their new ones, which include a yellow diamond with a bike warning. And underneath it, it'll say state law, 3 foot minimum when passing bicyclists or pedestrians. It's a great sign.
We'll go to Jerry, who's calling from Pownall. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling. Okay. Well, don't seem to be there, Jerry. I hope you'll call back. We're going to go to Elaine calling from Surrey. Hi, Elaine. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I drive a lot for a living around Maine, and I see the vacant faces of people who are talking on their cell phones, you know, who knows, texting and whatnot. And it scares the heck out of me to take my bike out on the rural roads where I live, where there are no shoulders on these roads, and to be driving with traffic. It makes no sense to me. You know, I could react more quickly to someone who is driving erratically if I was driving against traffic. I don't know if you've covered this already, but is this a law, and can you explain to me the rationale? Thank you.
Under Maine state law, you are required to ride the same direction as other vehicle traffic. So bicyclists are required to follow all the same rules as motor vehicle operators. And the rationale behind it is it's similar to what I said about sidewalk riding. When you behave as a vehicle, you put yourself in a place where you are most readily seen and interacted with by other motorists. I mean, think of what happens at a T intersection. You know, a car will come up to a T intersection and, you know, we learn in driver's ed, you look left, right, and left again. if you're riding your bicycle on the wrong side of the road against traffic, you're riding in a place where the driver's really not paying a lot of attention. They're looking to their left. If you're coming from their right, they can pull out in front of you without ever seeing you. And because the law does require that you ride with traffic, if you are operating against traffic and you are in a bicycle crash, you've actually really kind of compromised your legal standing as well in some cases.
We're going to go to Zizi Vlahn now, who is Communications Director for the Center for Ecology-Based Economy in Norway. Zizi, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us what's going on in Norway.
We wanted you to know that we love bikes up here in Norway. And the more bikes that get on the road, the safer it's going to be for people, not only for the riders, but also for the drivers. So we started this bike share program, which is a free program that, you know, we're about mitigating climate change primarily. So getting bikes on the road is a big way of reducing emissions, calming traffic, making commuter biking in a rural area safer and more enjoyable than jumping in your car for an errand. And generally, more bikes on the road make for a healthier community. So that's what we're trying to do up here. And we're hoping that that people get on the bandwagon here. And they can come and grab a bike whenever they need one. They just have to come in and register, fill out a liability form, and they can take a bike anytime they want 24/7. And we try to keep it commuting so that people are running errands with bikes instead of jumping in their cars.
So these bikes have nice big baskets?
Yes, big crates, big orange crates on the back of each bike.
Well, that's great. Zizi Vlahn, thanks so much for calling in and sharing with us about Norway's bike share program with the Center for Ecology-Based Economy.
Great, thanks.
Zizi got hello from Jim. Say hi to Scott for me.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add, you know, Zizi said something that I think really bears repeating, and that's the more people who are riding, the safer a place becomes. In 2003, a guy named Paul Jacobson issued a study that actually tracked crashes versus number of riders. And there is an inverse relationship. So the more people who are out riding bikes on the road, the lower the frequency of crashes are. So one of the best ways to improve safety is to just get out there and start riding. The more people riding, the safer it becomes for all of us.
All right. Zizi, thanks so much. So I think that we may have Jerry back. So I'm going to try to go to Jerry in Palinol. Hi, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me today?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just, I'm in my late 60s. I haven't ridden a bike for, maybe 25 years. What's the best way to get back into it in terms of equipment, bike, where to go? I think, like you said, I can get it on Google, but how does one who is... I don't call myself a senior citizen just yet. But
sure, but if it's been 25 years, it might be nice to ride with someone who is...
Well, no, it's my wife and I would like to try to get back into it for exercise purposes. And, of course, Maine is beautiful to ride around and bike. So if
yes, it is.
Panel could comment on that, I would really appreciate it.
Sure. Jamie, if someone like Jerry walks into Gorham Bike and Ski, as I suspect they do every day, what kind of recommendations do you have for him?
Well, we go through a process of asking our customers a lot of questions of what type of riding they want to do. Is it on the road? Do they want to go off-road? Do they want to go places like the Eastern Trail, which are excellent places to ride? So we get some feedback from them. And, you know, everybody has a budget, and bikes range from, you know, a few hundred dollars to thousands of dollars. And we get them set up on a couple of bikes and let them demo the bikes. And get the feedback from them and then help them find a place to go.
And people can rent bikes and try them out these days, can't they?
Oh, yes. Most shops these days are renting bikes.
Okay. And, you know, if he hasn't ridden in 25 years, he might assume that a road bike, they have those drop handlebars and not all of them even do anymore.
Right. There's a lot of flat-handled road bikes, a little bit more upright, a little bit more comfortable. But maybe he's be interested in trying an e-bike.
Yeah, the e-bike's perfect for the demographic.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, yeah, you know, why don't you find a bike shop near your house? experience I've had with every bike shop in Maine. Friendly, nice, knowledgeable people.
That's right. And if you buy something online, you know, here I am with my pitch of buy local. But, you know, you really need to be sized for a bike. Bikes come at least five sizes, sometimes upwards of seven sizes. So, you know, you want to make sure you get the right size bike before you head out on the road or the trail.
All right. Thanks for your call, Jerry. Okay. We do have to take another short break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Marvin Design Gallery by Eldridge Lumber. Handcrafted windows and doors designed to enhance the natural beauty of your home on Marginal Way in Portland.
I decided to close the door on gambling, blackjack, poker. It didn't matter what form. That part of my life was now over. I fell in love and I moved to Seattle to be with this woman. And, you know, Seattle is a little bit different from New York, the city. It is a city where nobody is trying to accomplish anything.
Join us next time for the Moth Radio Hour. True stories told live from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Join us tonight at 11 o'clock and again Sunday afternoon at 1.
West Virginia has the highest drug overdose death rate in the country. On the next Fresh Air, Margaret Talbot talks about her New Yorker story, The Addicts Next Door, detailing the impact of the opioid epidemic in poor West Virginia towns. Also, actor Sam Elliott. If you don't know the name, you'll recognize his voice and mustache. He stars in the new film, The Hero. Join us.
Tune into Fresh Air coming up tonight at 7 o'clock.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program, Bicycling in Maine. With me today, Jim Tassie, Assistant Executive Director of the Bicycle Coalition of Maine, and Jamie Wright, owner of Gorham Bike and Ski. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566, going to Ainsley calling from Portland. Hi, Ainsley. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling from the Portland Gear Hub. We're a nonprofit bike and outdoor gear shop here in Portland, Maine. We're run by Camp Keto down in Scarborough. And I was just calling to talk about some of the used bikes and bike safety equipment that we have to offer. I heard a few people call in about wanting to get back into it and finding a safe way to ride and getting people who they can talk to about ideas and options.
Ainsley, where are you located?
Oh, we're in Portland on 155 Washington Ave.
All right, and what are the prices of the bicycles at the Portland Gear Hub? Portland Gear Hub. How do you get a hold of them? Are they donated? And just tell us how it works.
Yeah, as a nonprofit, all of the equipment we have in the shop has been donated, so every bike gets donated as it is, and we do full repairs and tune-ups on everything. You know, when you buy a bike from us, that it's been test ridden, checked over, and it's safe to ride. Our average price is about $150 or $160 for a fully tuned bike. It might be an old 90s mountain bike, but sometimes those are the best commuters.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Ainsley. I know she's a friend of yours, Jim.
She is. Hi, Ainsley. Ainsley is one of our key partners with a program that the Bicycle Coalition runs in partnership with the Portland Gear Hub called Bikes for All Mainers, which is a program that teaches a wide variety of just people in need, basic bike mechanic skills, so self-rescue skills, and then we provide them with about 6 hours of traffic safety training, and the idea is that people get to earn a bike. And it's really targeting folks who don't drive or can't drive to give them a low-cost way to be mobile in the city.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Ainsley. We have, let's see, a Maine Calling Facebook post. When I'm parked, how can I signal to approaching cyclists that I see them and I won't door them?
Well, I don't know how you would do that short of rolling down your window and waving. But one of the things that's getting a lot of conversation these days is something called the Dutch reach, which means that when you open your car door, instead of using your left hand and just swinging the door open, you reach across with your right hand, which forces you to look back and to see if there's a bicyclist coming. And then, you know, the safest thing to do is let the bicyclist go by and then open the door. Under Maine state law, it is illegal to open your door into traffic.
Okay. We have another Maine Calling Facebook page post from Michelle. Fat bikes need to make sure they stay out of skiers' tracks, especially on groomed trails and soft snow. Maine Trail Finder has off-road trails for bikers. The River Trail in Brunswick is great, as well as Brunswick Landing. Also, the rail trails are open to bikes in several locations in Maine. So is that something you guys have heard conversations about, staying off of groomed cross-country skiing trails?
Well, there are several Nordic centers around the state that allow fat biking. The Rangeley Nordic Center offers it. I don't know if anybody would want to bike in the classic lanes anyway. it's two grooves that you ski in, so it wouldn't be suitable for really riding your bike. But as far as the skate lane goes, as long as the snow's firm enough, they let you ride. It's great riding. It's really great.
And some of the areas, like I know that up at Bethel Trails and the Bethel Cross Country Network out of the Bethel Inn, they actually have a whole network of snowshoe trails. And so you can ride your fat bike on the snowshoe trails. And there are places where, as Jamie says, you can ride on the skate track if it's firm enough. And they usually give you a heads up whether they want you on that or not. But, you know, it's good to be respectful of other users. And if it's soft and you're tearing up the trail, whether you're on snow or mud, we recommend that you think a little bit about what you're doing.
All right. We have Michelle calling in from Topsom. Hi, Michelle. Go ahead.
Hi. Actually, you just got my comment on Facebook, but I have a couple more items. One thing I find really frustrating as a pedestrian, but also as a bike rider, is when another bike is passing and they don't say a word. They don't say passing on your right or your left. And I find that so dangerous, because if I was to step sideways or move my bike sideways, I have no way of knowing they're coming, because they're much quieter than a car.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So is that law or good practice, Jim, to just say, passing on your right, on your left?
It's good practice, but Maine state law says you give 3 feet when you pass a bicycle or a pedestrian, and it doesn't matter if you're driving a car or you're driving a bike. You're supposed to give people a minimum of 3 feet, and giving them a courtesy call out is a great thing. I've got a little bell on my commuter bike, and I use it a lot. I will say a lot of pedestrians seem to be walking around with earbuds in, so I ring my bell quite aggressively and sometimes to no effect. But it's best to try and alert people when you're passing.
All right, Michelle, thanks for calling in. We'll move on to Scarborough and Larry in Scarborough. Hi, go ahead.
I'd like Jim Tassie to talk a little bit about the program that the Bicycle Coalition of Maine runs in all the towns across Maine, called Community Spokes. It's a great way for bringing in new practices and safe practices into communities. I know that we had a program like that here in Scarborough, and it's had a positive effect on everything that we've done down here.
Thanks, Larry. Happy to do that. The Community Spokes program is our community advocacy and leadership program. We launched it in 2011, and the idea behind this is to train local folks in some of the basics of, you know, planning and community mobilization, so that they know a little bit about what's possible to do on roadways, and they come into some of the conversations with municipal officials a little bit more informed. But we also give them some training in how to kind of convene a bike ped committee, so that they've got a constituency that they represent when they go and have those conversations. The program has been very successful. We've got over 140 spokes around the state at this point, and they are, you know, critical partners in changing the walkability and the bikeability of communities across Maine. They've been responsible for bike lane projects, sidewalk projects, off-road trail projects, and they've been very important in the development and adoption of what are called complete streets policies in a number of communities around the state, which in complete streets just basically means that the needs of all users are considered whenever any road work is done. And yeah, we're very proud of our community spokes. And if any of them are listening today, thanks for the work you do. It's really one of the most rewarding programs that we do at the Coalition.
An email from Bob. Maine seems ambivalent regarding supporting bike transportation. Some options are incredibly progressive. Laws, certain paths, the East Coast Bicycle Trail, etc. And others, not at all. Poor road design, ignorant and dangerous drivers, road conditions that have led to more flats, bike damage in 1 year on Greater Portland roads versus cumulative bike commuting elsewhere over the decades. What's up with that, and what can be done?
Well, you know, where the Bicycle Coalition of Maine is working every day to try and change that paradigm. We're having conversations with the Maine Department of Transportation daily. I just ran down here from Augusta talking to DOT just before this show. We're very involved with the city of Portland. You know, the conversation about changing how we view our transportation system is something we need to have every day. Americans have a real kind of automobile-centric perspective on the transportation system and on what roads are for. And what we're really trying to do is get people to understand that, you know, roads are for people, not just for people in cars. And that's very consistent with a national movement we're seeing that, you know, even huge cities like New York are really embracing walkability and bikeability as ways to stimulate economic growth, vibrancy, quality of life, and safety. So have patience. You know, we're making good progress in Maine, and I think it'll just get better as the years go by.
We're going to go to Jay. Jay, where are you calling from?
Hi, calling from the Tobago Lake region, and just have a comment. Regarding being prudent as a bike rider, I ride into Portland every day, year-round, three or four times during the week in the wintertime. And although there are laws in place for bikes and drivers, I think just being prudent and remembering that most drivers don't follow the law or are aware of bike laws and ride as far over to the right as possible, even if it's along the broken pavement, just kind of makes good sense to me. And those safe practices that I've had for the last dozen years have pretty much made me come home safe every day. So I'll take any comments off the air. Thank you.
All right, Jay, thanks for your call. It's tricky, though, because, you know, I have a child who just got her driver's license, and I tell her, when you see a bicycle, don't assume it's going to stay where it is, because it could be that all of a sudden they're going to come up upon some broken glass or some crumbled pavement or a big patch of sand. You know, it's tricky to say the cyclist is always going to be way over on the side of the road, even if it's not in good condition.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I mean, I understand what the caller is saying, and, you know, what's working for him is working for him, and I don't disagree with what he's saying. But there are many situations in which actually taking a position further in the travel lane enhances your safety because, number one, you improve your sight line. So if you're a little bit further out in the road, the car sees you from much further back and is able to slow down and interact with you as another piece of traffic on the road. Whereas if you're buried on the edge of the road, they might not pick you up in the clutter of what's going on, and they may, you know, approach you at, you know, 65 miles an hour rather than 35 or 45. So that's one consideration. The other thing to think about is that you're really telegraphing what you want a driver to do by lane position, and particularly in urban contexts. You know, if you're way over to the right, you're saying, pass me. And if you're on a really narrow road and there's an oncoming car, that car may try to squeeze by and the bicycle winds up being the loser getting run off the road. Whereas if you take a position a little bit further in the travel lane, again, you're forcing an oncoming vehicle or an overtaking vehicle to slow down, deal with you as traffic, and wait for a safe place to pass. You know, everyone's got a kind of, you know, personal way to keep themselves safe. And I think that, you know, whatever works for you is what you should do. But, you know, there are a variety of situations in which actually being a little bit further left actually improves your safety because it makes you more visible and forces cars to deal with you as traffic.
Well, it's a great conversation, and it has to come to an end. Thank you both for being here on Maine Calling today. Jim Tassi, Assistant Executive Director of the Bicycle Coalition of Maine, and Jamie Wright, owner of Gorham Bike and Ski. Jonathan Woodward ran the board today. We had additional help from Mal Leary. Today's show will be rebroadcast tonight at 8. Maine Calling's produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can always find past programs archived at mainecalling.net. Tomorrow on the program, The Month in Review, join me as we look back at stories that Maine made the Maine headlines in June, from budget negotiations in Augusta to the role of Maine senators in the debates over health care reform and Russia meddling in our elections. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.